For the next hour, hear how 13-year NFL vet thinks.
You can't just do one play. No. You got to reset. You got to do it over and over and over again. You can come out here with a win. Let's do it.
This is Brown Safety, Rodney McLeod.
Rodney McLeod joining us right now in the Smart Choice Windows and More studio, and I've been waiting 48 hours to ask you this question about that game against the Washington Commanders. Zach Ertz fumbled that football. That's my opinion. I don't even need to ask you the question. I'm just saying it. That was a fumble by Zach Ertz.
It looked like it. It looked like he made a football move, couple steps, got my hand in there, and I thought, yeah, we came up with another turnover to help our team out, but no, it was incomplete. I probably would prefer the fumble because now we get the ball back. But, hey, man, just out there fighting. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, you told us, you're like, man, because we were kind of down. You walked in and you're like, you've been in the league a long time. You're like, I've had bad days. I've had worse days, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Fans, we're in the moment. We're all feeling really down about things and the way this is going. And, we have in the fan base people that are eternal optimists. We have those that are on the other side of things. And so far, this isn't obviously what you guys wanted. You guys were determined to get a road victory, and that game gets away from you, fairly early. Defensively, I do want to ask, it's the offense, we know points are really hard to come by. Is that making your job at all tougher? Is it changing your mindset at all, knowing that if you give up any big plays, any touchdowns, that could be it?
I mean, I think going into any game, you want to eliminate explosives, eliminate big plays. That is something that, we do focus on. There's direct correlation with explosives to winning, right? Or you minimize that and you more than likely come up on the positive side of things. So I think for us defensively, it's more about how do we play a complete 60 minutes of ball. Jim came in the other day and he talked about how, 58 of our 67 plays were given up an average of, 2.8 or 9 yards. But then you have those set of plays right there that accumulated to maybe 200 worth of yards. And, for us as a elite defense, those are the things that we have to avoid and eliminate from the game in order to give our team the best chance possible. Whether our team is scoring 40 points or they're scoring 14, our job is to prevent them from scoring. And at the end of the day, if our offense gives us 3, that should be enough for us. And that's our standard, right? Other teams don't have that level of standard, but that's what we created last year, and that's what this team, expects, and that's what we expect of ourselves. So for us, it's about, man, just really fine-tuning those 7 plays or 10 plays and allow that to look more like the 58 others. And that's the hard part about it, where we're at. But we got to keep creating turnovers, creating short fields, and find ways to get in the end zone. That's where we're at right now. And we understand that right now we're a grinded out type of team. We got to win late. And so it's imperative for us to make sure things stay on course and that we don't allow, the game to get out of hand. And we have full control of that defensively.
So what happened on the long play to Terry McLaurin in the first quarter and then the touchdown to De'Ami Brown in the second?
Yeah, for the first explosive that we gave up, it was a great call by Schwartz. And then, we just missed the finish. We didn't finish. You see one of our best tacklers there in JLK, and man, credit to Daniels. He was avoiding us all day, escaping the pressure. The young man is a baller, and he was able to escape the rush, break a tackle, and then find a guy deep. And then you said the second play,
De'Ami Brown, the 41-yard touchdown.
Yeah, it's just great throw and great catch. We don't want to give up any points, especially at the end of half. I felt like that, was a game changer in a sense. Gave them a lot of momentum, especially with them coming out and getting the ball back after the half. But we did force a turnover. But yeah, just, man, again, great throw, great catch. Those guys get paid too.
Rodney McLeod in studio with us, so as he is every single Tuesday at 9 o'clock. So obviously we know offensively there were issues getting lined up. Defensively, we saw a couple of flags. It looked like they caught you with their tempo. Was that something they had showed on tape? Was that something Schwartz, other assistants, had gone over with you guys? And how do you fix that? How is that something that going forward, you know, as a teaching point, it's not going to happen again?
We were aware of their no huddle tendencies, their abilities to sub in and out very quickly, and we did rep it throughout practice. That is something that they use as a weapon for them. Their ability to get on the line quick, right after you know a big play, or and so for us, you know, when they sub, we're allowed to sub. You know, that's how it works in the league. And we were doing a great job. You know, we had a plan of action where, you know, we would take naturally our time, right, in subbing, because that affects them, right? You know, the play clock is running. So by the time our guy reaches the sideline, if, you know, he's there and it's 10 seconds left, that's all they have, right, to make the calls that they need, get a look at the defense, and then go on. And, you know, again, you know, we had maybe one or two penalties. But, you know, you see in other games, you know, guys are really struggling to get on and off the field. So I thought that was very clever by, you know, our entire defense and definitely Schwartz, you know, thinking that and being ahead of that. And that was something that we did, again, emphasize this week to not allow that to be a weapon of theirs. And, you know, I thought we handled that, you know, pretty well.
So take us through how the communication works from the sidelines, from Schwartz to, you know, the communication that goes to you guys, and what you're monitoring to make sure that you, A, don't have too many men on the field, that you are subbing and have the right packages on.
Yeah, there's typically a personnel card that we hold up for us defensively to see what they're in. And, of course, there's a guy in the box who's now calling down the personnel to Schwartz and everyone else on the headset to make sure that the right personnel's up. But we understood, again, because of this team's tempo, there would be times that we can't sub and get into our normal packages that we normally would run, right? Based on their personnel grouping, we might have to live in this particular group for the entirety of that possession. You just don't know at the pace in which they're going to operate. So that is our lines of communication. But again, a lot of times the defensive line are the ones that are constantly rotating in, which, you know, we had them, I think, near the ref so that they understood, okay, when they sub, we're allowed to sub. And like I said, we were very intentional about that. But, you know, came up, I think, short maybe a couple times, caught us, you know, on a key third down situation. I think that's one that stands out to me the most. But overall, I think, like, again, we handled that fairly well.
So the personnel, when you sub, is it based on their personnel or your personnel?
It's based on theirs. It's based on, some of it is dictated around them, and then others, you know, we might have our own grouping that we want to, you know, that we want to run, like, especially on third downs. You know, third downs, depending on, you know, again, the situation, that dictates what we put out there. But more than likely, we're matching their personnel grouping with our personnel group.
How does D-line do their rotations? Do you know off the top of your head?
They just have an alpha and beta group, and they just rotate just as needed. Sometimes we have turbo packages for third downs where, you know, we get an extra defense in, where normally you see the Darius inside at the, you know, at the tackle position. But other than that, they just rotate as they feel.
Now, Myles Garrett, his snap count was a little more normal than it had been the previous weeks. We know that he's been battling. He said at one point, I think, both his feet that he's been struggling with. Do you think he is is back to normal? Is he? Do you see him? I mean, he seems like a warrior. He's going to play through whatever he can.
Yeah, that's exactly what I see from Miles. I don't think we were able to tell whether or not he's injured or not, just because his natural ability. To be honest, like, you know, most guys, 80% is not it. But you know, you're dealing with Miles is a different beast. But at the end of the day, I know, you know, for Miles, you know, he wants to win. He's going to put it all on the line for the team. So we're in a must-win situation every game, you know, going forward. So I expect Na'Fab to lead the way, to be out there as much as he can to make an impact on the game.
What happened to your face?
Yeah,
you got like, a bandage going.
I know. It's part of the look. Huh. That's where we're at right now. We're just fighting.
What happened? You tell me what happened.
It was a punt play. Thought of the guy trying to, you know, get off a block, and I guess the helmet just caught me in a weird position. So had to get a couple stitches in the first quarter. When I was back out there with the patch on the over the face or close to the face, I feel like I barely could see. But whatever it takes.
Will you wear a visor now?
No, the visor, it didn't matter. It was more the impact of the helmet. It's never happened to me before. So when it did, I was, it was awkward. Like, wait, what happened? But again, the force of the helmet, I guess, just caught me slightly below. It may have came down a little bit, and that's what caused the cut.
Okay. Rodney McLeod joining us here in studio.
Do you guys ever, I know it's got to be kind of taboo because we are all so worried about concussions, but JOK and the Guardian cap, I mean, it stands out on television.
Yeah.
Is that something you guys have openly had conversations about? Do you bust chops about it just because of how it looks?
I think it's like kind of old now. I think at first when the refs came in or the league came in and said everybody's going to be wearing Guardian caps at practice, I was worried about the swag and how it looked more so than anything. And now, you know, I don't really think you notice it as much as we did, you know, a couple years back. But JLK is one guy that takes his safety very seriously. If you see him, he has every sort of pad that they can offer on his body. So it doesn't surprise me that he has a Guardian cap too.
You said we're an elite defense. Immediately my mentions went brrrt with listeners. Explain why you're still an elite defense.
Honestly, that's just our mindset. We feel like, you know, we're the best. And so for us, it's about us just living it and being about it, you know. And so our team needs us right now to be that elite defense that we know we're capable of, and that we did last year. And so that's what it's going, you know, to take for us to be able to make this run, is for us to play at a high level, carry this team, do our job, and that's it. So I believe we're the best because of the players we have, the character guys that we have, and led by Jim Schwartz. We're going to get it done.
Well, do you think, because it's year two of the system, so there's always a chess match in the NFL where, you know, like, for instance, Jim Schwartz had been at times considered the Shanahan killer in some of the things that he would show defensively. There's always going to be that joust, that cat and mouse game. Do you think teams now, they have film on you guys from last year, and are you seeing different looks that you might not have seen maybe last year because they are making sure to show different things?
No, honestly, I don't think so at all. I think a lot of what's going on is us, you know, and it's us not, again, you know, doing the basics correctly or just consistently. And I think we just need consistent ball, you know, from all levels of our defense and, again, for an entire game. And let's see, you know, what that looks like. So that is our focus, is playing consistent ball, high effort, and then doing it for all of 60 minutes or whatever, or however long it takes, you know, to get the win.
How many players only meetings have you been a part of?
I mean, I've been a part of a few throughout my 13 years.
Have there been wild players only meetings?
No, I think every players only meeting that I've had has been very just constructive and positive, and trying to figure out, okay, understanding where we are and how do we get things back on track. And I think I've always left out of those meetings feeling positive about what was said, because, you know, what tends to happen is there are a lot of, like, you know, small conversations that go on, you know, within the locker room. And, you know, at a point in time, you just need to all come together to, like, all right, let's just voice, like, how we feel and how do we get ourselves out of this tough situation that we're in. And, like, let's get the coaches out. Let's get front office out. Let's get the trainers, whomever else. It's just us, because at the end of the day, every Sunday, it's just us. And let's get to the bottom of it. So we had one of those last week, and I thought it was a great meeting, to be honest with you. Now, no, we didn't get the results that we wanted this Sunday. Not at all. Not close. But that doesn't discourage me. That doesn't, you know, leave me in doubt that the things that we said in that meeting, you know, are no longer possible. And I think on a positive note, right, you know, it's unfortunate that our record stands the way it does. Everybody's going in a panic mode outside of the building, I would say. But what we have to realize is, you know, we've lost to a lot of NFC opponents, and you don't want to lose any games. But there's a large portion of our schedule that is ahead, that we're going to play the AFC. We're playing our division, and we're playing AFC opponents. So those are the games that matter the most. Right now, we're 1-1 in AFC. And so with that, you know that Dumb and Dumber. So you're telling me there's a chance. And like, it is.
We ran a guy off the show for saying that earlier on the phone.
But that's the truth. You know what I'm saying? That's the honest truth. And that is what you have to, that is what's going to bring you, you know, continue to bring you to work every single day, is that, dog, no matter what, like, yeah, we're 1-4. It's not the best start. Everybody thought we would be 5-0, whatever it might be, but that's not it. Let's go ahead and focus on taking this one game at a time, but knowing there is an AFC stretch ahead of us, and we have to be playing our best at that time. Show up, show out, and get a win.
Can you tell us who called and who spoke at the players only meeting?
Yeah.
Who led?
No, it was a lot of us that spoke. You know, I spoke. A lot of leaders on the team had a lot of great things to say.
Is that something, because you said last week, Ronnie McLeod in studio with us, you said last week that this is on us. This is on us. This isn't a coach's thing. Mm-hmm. This is on us. We have the talent in that building to be able to pull this off.
Yeah.
So that doesn't surprise us entirely that you had a players-only meeting. I think what may have surprised some people was that it was this early in the season, that you guys felt the urgency to get everybody together and get in that right headspace.
Yeah, I mean, because you can't waste games, and you know we put ourselves in a tough situation where, you know, there are a few games that we should have won, and we feel as though like the urgency from everyone needs to rise, and again, we just want to make sure that, look, we're all together, we're on one accord, and you know, we need to get things, you know, in order and for us to win these games.
All right, obviously, you have matched up with different types of quarterbacks throughout the year already. There's always going to be these different kinds of challenges. from the QB position. You go from a dynamic rookie who is, I mean, he's just been incredible. He's got some of the best numbers in the league, and now you're getting ready for the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. What are the challenges? Because they've been a different team this year. They're getting guys healthier, but even the push play that they like to resort to, that hasn't been working nearly mm-hmm. as much. You certainly have ears on the ground there because that's a place you know very well. So what are some of those challenges this week?
Yeah, I think starting with the quarterback, another dual threat QB, you know, somebody that can, you know, we know his arm talent, likes to throw the ball outside, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. You know, we talked about explosives earlier, and that will be a key to the game is eliminating those explosives and making them drive the field. And then, you know, you have to prepare for the off-schedule throws, his ability to escape pressure, pick up a first down, you know, through his legs, whether it's a scramble or whether it was, an intentional run called. So that adds an extra layer of preparation and focus that we have to tap into. But then, you know, what stands out to me the most is, you know, the addition to, you know, 26, adding Saquon Barkley to that mix and knowing, you know, how dynamic of a runner he is on the ground paired with that offensive line. You know, that's going to be a huge emphasis for us is stopping the run. You know, I know they're looking at tape over the past few weeks and figuring out, okay, how can we replicate some of these runs? So, you know, we got to make sure we check our mail, make sure that, you know, we dominate up front, we tackle well on a perimeter, and then, you know, more than anything, man, like 11 hats to the ball. You know, that's what it's going to take with a runner like Saquon. You know, he has the ability sometimes to make the first guy miss, but the second, third guy, you know, has to be there, you know, to protect their brother. So those are some immediate challenges. This, you know, their skill group is elite. Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, great tandem. And you pair them with Goddard in the middle. So it's a good offensive group that we're going up against, knowing that they haven't had the season either that they, you know, thought in these first four games. So they're coming off a bye week fresh. They're going to be ready to go. And, you know, we got to go in there and take care of business.
Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown coming back. You know, you speak about it a little bit. It looks like they're going to be coming back. What's that change for your guys in the secondary?
Nothing.
Still going to go man?
We don't fear anybody. If that is the game plan that Jim and the rest of the staff believes is what's going to help us win, then that's what we'll do at the end of the day. But teams know our identity. We primarily are a man team. So I wouldn't expect anything less. But again, you know, we'll see what the game plan is. Starting up tomorrow.
So for the rest of this week, like you come out of the players only meeting, doesn't go your way on Sunday. Yeah, what did you guys say to each other yesterday? What was said yesterday to get ready for this week?
Man, I think to me, how I look at everything, right, is you have to look at, did you put yourself in the best position possible on Sunday? And that means, what did you do Monday through Saturday in order to feel confident, prepared, and everything in order for you to go out and win? And, like, what tends to happen is the work that you put in throughout that week, it doesn't always amount to a win. That's just the truth. But the great ones are going to do it no matter what. No matter win, lose, draw, I'm going to come back and I'm going to have the same routine. I'm going to put forth the same amount of effort, amount of work, amount of preparation, focus, like everything that is required to put myself in the best position to win, I'm going to do. And so for us, that starts today in our preparation, film study, everything that we do on our own till tomorrow when we come in the building and we are together as a collective and we know the game plan and we start working towards how do we go into Philly and walk out, you know, a winner. Mm.
Now, I know a lot of fans, and I've been like this before, when the Browns lose, sometimes I tap out for the weekend, the NFL. Are you watching – Like last night, are you paying attention to Monday night? Does it matter, win or lose, how you are consuming the rest of your league that you're in?
Yeah, sometimes I have the same feeling. You know, I'm tired of ball. Can't watch it. Like honestly, but last night I turned on the TV, and you know, my wife and I, you know, watched it together for a little bit. Then we were kind of in and out, but saw a majority of the game. But yeah, I had that same feeling. Like some weeks, I'm like, I can't look at the highlights. I can't look at Sunday night, Monday night. I'm just gonna turn on a TV show and just clear my mind of ball for a little bit to reset.
What TV shows are you watching?
Oh, man, So recently I was just watching a old classic, The Wire. I turned that back on. So I just finished that like 2 weeks ago.
Which season's your favorite?
I feel like season 1 and 3. Season 1 and 3.
He didn't like The Longshoreman either. He didn't want to go that way.
Season 1 and 3. You know, of course, I was hurt. I was hurt when, you know, some of your famous characters are now off the show. But yeah, that Power. I was watching the show on Hulu. Reasonable Doubt. Kind of we all over the place. We watch a little bit of everything.
You have problems finding things to watch with your wife, or is that easy?
Nah, it's fairly easy. Yeah.
It's a half hour for us every night to decide, and then sometimes we give up and we're mad at each other because we couldn't come up with something.
What they have is a solid marriage.
Right?
Yeah. And you need to know.
You got to do a lot of things together with your wife. I've heard that that's how you last.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys, over the weekend, Washington handed Michigan its second loss of the season in a 27-17 final out in Seattle. And there was an exchange during the game between some Washington fans and the director of high school relations for Michigan football, Chris Bryant. And make sure to listen carefully for this, guys, because Chris had some words for those Washington fans.
We're good.
Have you ever wanted to yell at fans in the stands, Rodney?
All the time, but
have you ever?
I couldn't even hear what he said.
So
I guess that's why.
He said bleep, 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 bleep.
Yeah, a lot of bleep. Tell everybody what he said there, Mitch. Do you know?
He said, "Shut the bleep up before you get bleeped up."
Thoughts?
Hey, sometimes you got to let it out. You just got to get your emotions.
Well, that's
your
emotions, they take him off the
get
website?
Your out.
Yeah, already his stuff is scrubbed from the website. So, yeah. You know, he might be at a lower level where, you know, they just can't have that. I always wonder because, look, as a troll, I've been a professional troll before, not just on the radio, at games. You know, NBA games, if you get a chance to sit low, they can hear you. Yeah. I mean, we got Vince Carter went after us. The time we were having fun.
Oh,
we didn't
man.
Say anything that incendiary.
No, can I say something right? Can I tell them the story real quick?
Yeah,
I'll try to make it as quick as possible. So I went with Lime at a Cavs game once. It was the best seats ever. We were floor seats. I've never sat that close, okay? It was our friend Brian who got us the seats. And we were sitting with Brian and his family. And there was a foul on Trae Young. Trae Young started barking at the refs. And I stand up. I go, he hasn't earned it because he was a rookie. I go, he hasn't earned it yet. Throw him out. And it was Vince Carter's last game in Cleveland. Like at halftime, they gave him something. And I'm yelling at Trae Young. Trae Young's off to my left, and I look in front of me, and Vince Carter's from me to the window. And Vince Carter looks at me, and he goes, "You need to knock it off right now."
Yeah.
That's it. He said, There was no cuss words. He talked to me like he was my father.
Yeah.
And I just looked at him. I went,
"Yes,
sir." And
yes,
I nodded
sir.
My head, and I sat down.
Yes, sir.
And he sat down. I swear to God, Rodney, he sits down at the end of the bench. They call a timeout. There's a TV timeout, and he just stared at me from the end of the bench. Like I mean, it was Ken Senior all over again.
Somebody send the picture to Rodney. Tweet it at him. Somebody has the picture of us at the game.
Yelling right before it went down, and there was the security guard, and Brian's like, "You might be in trouble." And I'm going, I look at the security guard, I go, "He's not going to throw me out of here, is he?" He goes, "He might." I go, "I didn't say anything." He goes, "Doesn't matter." I'm going, "Oh, my God, no."
Yeah, so certain stadiums, guys are right on you, right? I mean, there are certain places. And obviously, the whole goal is for them to get a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how a game is going, and sometimes it can be the other way. I've seen it where players they start talking trash because they went ahead late in the game, and now they're going to have fun.
Yeah.
And they know that the fans aren't going to come down because this isn't the NBA. You're not going to have a Malice in the Palace situation. So obviously what happened there in the Michigan situation was not good. That's not something Sharon Moore and their coaching staff need as an added hassle or distraction.
Right. Yeah.
But is there like an unspoken – is there something that somebody can say that will really get under your skin?
I think when you bring family into it, you know, now you cross a whole, you know, different layer of emotions, you know, at that point in time. But, you know, outside of that, you know, I look at it, it's fun. You know, I go ahead, you know, you say what you want to say, and then, you know, go out there and make a play, come back on the sideline, and I'll let you know about it, you know. So I just use it as motivation. But, I think at the end of the day, man, you know, fans have to be mindful that at the end of it, like, we're all human beings just like you. And, yeah, we understand you pay your money to be there to watch a game, but there's just – you also have to have the emotional control and maturity to be able to, again, watch the game, have fun with it, but don't cross that line. Because you cross that line, I don't know what's happening after that.
But, Ronnie, we've been drinking for 7 hours.
Found out, you know, with Vince. Well, Vince had to hit you with a stare down.
He was just going to have me removed. He was not going to waste his time with me. I felt terrible. I love Vince Carter. But
the feeling you had, though, was, are they really going to remove me out of the game?
It's like, this is going to be embarrassing. How many times you've had to have enjoyed that part where you put a game away, you've been on the road, a fan base has been on you the entire time? Because I've seen the NFL films where basically, like, go ahead, touchdown, there's 2 seconds left, and all of a sudden, like, I see an entire defensive line, like, get up on the bench and start pointing people out who have been saying things to them for the last 3 hours.
Yeah, I'll let you know about it.
How fun is that?
You eat those words that you said earlier, and what we did was we walked in here, we got a win. I know, for me, I think I had a moment, like, in Washington when I was in Philly, and I just got up on the stands. So I think I had just called game interception, sent us to the playoffs, and I'm just talking. And I'm not even talking to anybody directly, just talking to everybody in the area. Like, this is my stadium. I run this. This is it. And
watch out for those snowballs.
But you got to have fun with it.
That's so Philadelphia on Sunday, you win that game. Are you going to say anything to those fans, or are you just going back in the tunnel?
Nah, I'm letting them know. I'm letting them know. You got to let them know. When you walk out of there with a win in that place, you got to let them know.
All right.
They know it's all love.
Enjoy your Tuesday, by the way.
In between those white lines.
You got a big day on Tuesday here? Are you going to go apple picking or something like that, apparently?
Yeah, got to get body right. That's first and foremost. Old man has to recover. And then I have some family time at Brown's Family Farm.
Don't say where.
Nah, I won't disclose the address, but I'm looking forward
to
that.
It'll definitely be Brown's and Fans Family Farm Day. And they will tell you all about how they're feeling.
Some pictures on some hay bales in your future coming up. Oh, that's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, they got some apple fritters on there.
How old's
hay ride, corn maize. She is 4 months.
4 months.
Yeah. So
she'll remember all of this, too. So, I mean, that's what makes the difference.
It's really for the big kids that are going.
Great.
For me and the wife.
Great. Fun. All right.
Got to do it.
Obviously, I hope and pray that next Tuesday is much more fun than this. I know.
Come on. We're gonna do it.
Hey,
I need you guys to believe. Come on,
Rodney.
Come on.
I'm trying.
I mean, Rodney's calling.
Come on.
I give a lot of credit. He came in here. I'm hoping. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things that you weren't even here for that roll into this. That roll into these feelings. This cornucopia of emotions. We've shared a few of them off air with you. The pictures on that guy's phone across the table from when did we draft that guy from Texas A&M?
But he's not on the field on Sunday. Rodney is.
Yeah.
Let's go. True. Rodney, thank you for the time.
I like Rodney's.
I appreciate it.